Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming and is now is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. For he who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Amen. In 1 John 4, we're just going to kind of continue the thought here. And he starts off, and we understand kind of the general theme that he's going with this. And he starts off by giving a warning against believing in spirits. And the spirit that he's particularly referring to is called the spirit of the Antichrist, which is, again, it's not necessarily talking about the Antichrist of Revelation that we're gonna get to pretty soon. Just as a side note, a thought, it took us 3 years to get through this whole thing. And so I think by the fall, we'll actually finish the book of Revelation. And so I think that's pretty amazing. I was just reading this morning. I feel like I could die now. We finally finished the New Testament. But I'm not going to, because we're going to get into the Old Testament as we start off. But any case, so it's the Spirit of God. And he makes it very clear that in verse 2, first one, there's many false prophets that have gone out into the world. And so you have to be very aware. It's important for us to understand very good, solid, biblical teaching. What happens when we are outside of this is you can very easily get into error. And we think error, not just in the sense of our mind and things like that, but in our behavior, so many aspects. I would probably say most of what I deal with as a pastor, in the sense of talking with people, serious discussions, all those kinds of things, is actually dealing with some aspect of error that someone has learned along the way in their Christian life. That they pick something up from somewhere, and not necessarily a blatant error, but kind of a half-truth. Not really understanding the full, or what we call the whole counsel of the Scriptures. And so that they bring elements into their life, and it affects their behavior. It really leads people into sin in many ways. Or it could be just purely ignorance. You mention to someone, actually, you really shouldn't be living with your boyfriend or girlfriend. Things like that. That's an appearance of evil. And you go on, and they're like, really? I didn't know that. Well, read the Bible, man. There's so many different things. And, really? What? Giving? I didn't know that. And so it's this idea that we should really be aware of what's going on. And understanding the false teachers, the false prophets, they're not going to tell you a blatant lie. You know what I mean? The enemy is a little smarter than that. He's going to give you half-truths. He's going to give you a watered-down version of. And that's basically how it works in his subtlety. And so we should be aware. We should have the Word of God in our hearts. When I was in Israel last week, we went up to Masada, which is a very famous Jewish outpost. And it actually means a lot to the current state of the Jewish people today. But we went, and there was actually a room in there, and there was this rabbi. And the rabbi was in there, and all he does all day long, 24-7, he just writes on the scroll. It's kind of what they did thousands of years ago. And he sits there, and his, I think Vivian Lam came and said, "Wow, your handwriting is so neat." That was her profound comment to this rabbi. We're all kind of laughing there. And so I got a chance to talk to him because we actually took the cable car back down, and we're just talking about his life, his ministry, what he's doing, and we're just commenting, wow, you know, how is it like to write all this stuff? And this is what he said. He said, "The scriptures is life. It's life to us, and every word that God gave to us is life." And so his whole thing is, why wouldn't I dedicate my whole life and even learning the skill of carefully writing down his word, because his word is life to us. And I sat there, I was so humbled. It was just amazing. Listen to this guy, and he has absorbed himself because this word is life. And he has dedicated himself to writing down. Now, we don't have to dedicate ourselves to writing down so meticulously. And it wasn't that, it was the attitude. This word that God gave us is life. And so it's not a waste of my life to dedicate my whole life to this word. And like I said, I was so humbled, and it actually kind of stirred me to read more of the scriptures, which I did on this trip and trying to continue to do. And it's this idea, and because remember, there's false prophets that have gone out into the world. There are ideas that have infiltrated the church. There are movements and thoughts and different things. And again, it's not blatant lies. There'll be half-truths. It'll sound good, but when you investigate further, it'll be like, actually, that's a little bit off. But because maybe as believers, we're ignorant or we are just careless to dig deeper and whatnot, we can very easily fall into error. And so it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God." And so make sure that that's the case. And I say the same thing, even for myself. I know some of you guys have sat under our teaching here at Solomon's Porch for years. Test everything that comes out of our mouth. And nobody is perfect. You know what I mean? Everyone has their own kind of pet theologies and things they believe in. Make sure that everything that comes out of my mouth, Pastor Eugene's mouth, Pastor Nate, Pastor Sophia, other leaders, your house church leaders, make sure that you see that they are words that come from God. And the only way you know that or are going to understand that is if you have God's word inside of you and you can filter through. It says in verse 2, "By this you know the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." And so he's probably dealing with a heresy that's rising up during this time dealing with the humanity of Christ, that just purely the divinity. So he's dealing with this. "And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming, and now it is already in the world." That same idea that we talked about yesterday, the kingdom of God is here, it's yet to come. Now he's talking about the opposite kingdom. It's here, but it's also yet to come as well, the spirit of the Antichrist. But he says, "You are from God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he," this is a great verse, "greater is he that is in you, Holy Spirit, word of God, word of life, in you, than he that is in the world." And so if we talk about this battle that's going on between these false prophets, the spirit of truth, the spirit of error, all these things, we can recognize it's greater is the Spirit of God that is in you than the spirit that resides in the world. So John is saying, look, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be nervous about, oh, man, there's false prophets. No, Because the Spirit of God that's in you is much infinitely greater than the spirit of this age and the spirit that's going on in the world right now. And so he's writing us to tell us that we should have confidence in him. You know, we are from God. He who knows God, verse 6, listens to us. He who does not know God does not listen to us. He's the apostle of love, but it's amazing how black and white he is. If you notice, all through this, he's so black and white. If you listen to us, that means you're of God. If you don't listen to us, you're not from God. And that's a very different idea than what we think about love. Right, I talked about early on, a lot of times we equate love with tolerance. Tolerance is not love. Tolerance, a lot of times, is laziness. Tolerance is skipping the issue a lot of times. Sometimes love is very confrontational. Sometimes love is in your face a little bit. It's speaking truth in love, but it's a little different than we think or what the love that's expressed in the world comes. And then he continues on. Now he goes into a whole other aspect of love in this way. So he says, beloved, this is some of you guys grew up in the church. You'd be familiar with this verse because you probably sang this song. Let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God or begotten of God and knows God. Again, black and white. The one who does not love does not know God. For God is love. For God is love. There are, in the scriptures, as far as I can tell, there are four definitions of God in the Bible. Now, since God is beyond us and can't really be defined, they're all incomplete, but however, they give us a little picture into the nature of God. The first one, as we read here, it says, God is love. He's love. And so this is the nature of God and what we call his divine compassion. God is love. If you look at, there's a Hawaiian Bible, actually, it's in their own pidgin language, and they actually reverse this a little bit. They don't say God is love. They reverse it. It says love is God, which I think is a bit more profound. Everything of love comes from God. And so God is love. Love is God. They're totally interconnected. And this is one of the definitions of God. This is the nature of God in his divine compassion. In God's heart, he is love. All that embodies. And so it's important for us to understand that because God also gives us commandments. And just like a parent would give their child commandments. And so God says, hey, maybe you shouldn't do this or do this. And because what? Remember, God is love. And so even his commandments flow out of love. It took me a long, long time to understand that. Because in our world, commandments, rules, regulations, whatever you want to call it, they're very, very negative. You know, why can't we just be free? You know, why can't we just express ourselves in the way we want to? God made me this way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But see, because God's nature is love, that's who he is in his divine compassion, everything he does, everything he says flows out of love. And so he says, hey, I'll just give you one case in point. Don't commit adultery. What? I can do whatever I want. You know, why are you telling me what to do? No, don't commit adultery. In other words, God is saying, because I love you, son, I'll speak to myself. Sam, because I love you, and I've given you one of the best expressions of love with your wife and with your three girls and with your family. And because I love you so much, Sam, don't do this, because if you do this, guess what's going to happen? You're going to break that trust and that incredible expression of love that I've given you and your family and your wife and your kids. So don't commit adultery. Doesn't that sound very different than a lot of times when we hear commandments? Because we don't understand that his nature is love. And so everything God does, because he's love, God is love. Because of that, when he speaks a word to us, either into an action or to a non-action, in other words, not to do something, it flows out of that love. Whatever it may be. When God leads us down a certain path, when God directs us, the whole impetus, the motivation, everything that does with the commandment or the leading or whatever you want to call it, is based out of love. And if we let that sink deep inside, it changes us. It makes us to be sons and daughters. we no longer become the rebellious child and kind of, oh, I'm going to do it my own way. Even God says, look, even your own way, because I love you so much, God says, I'm going to show you a better way. And so follow me. Because he loves us so much, and because he loves us so much, he has the best in mind for us. And so, and we have to allow that to really absorb in us. I'll just throw a few of these out really quick before I get back to the text. There are some other ones. God is light. That's another description that he gives us. 1 John 1:5. We just read it a couple of days ago. Now, this is the nature of God and his divine character. In him, there is no darkness. So it's another definition of God. He's light. And so everything about light and what we think, that's what God is. God is actually the one that called light out. And so in him, there is no darkness whatsoever. And so again, even when we think about God, and I used to think this a long time as a young Christian, I thought, God, you're just doing all this stuff for your own benefit. You know, you're asking me to do this and do that. It's all for your benefit. And I realized, no, that's not true. He's not trying to manipulate us, or because there is no darkness in him at all. Because God is light. I throw another one at you. In Hebrews 12:29, it tells us that God is a consuming fire. It's another definition of God. He's a consuming fire. This is the nature of God in his divine holiness. In his divine holiness. You know, we've talked about holiness, you know, for a long time here. This is one of these words that holy that you can't get outside of God. It doesn't exist outside of the realm of God. And God is holy. And so it gives us an idea of how we should deal with our sins. And about the wrong that we do in our life, our lack of morality, or else you want to call it, because God is holy. He is a consuming fire. There's something about his character, his attribute here, his nature, in his divine holiness. And so this is because he's a consuming fire. Jesus Christ went to the cross so he can reconcile man to God. This whole idea where he says in verse 10 that he became the propitiation for our sins. He paid the price for our sins. And the last one is John 4:24. It says God is spirit. He is spirit. This is the nature of God and his divine essence. He is a spirit. He manifests himself in things or objects. He comes down into the tent and these, but at the end of the day, he is a spirit. And so we worship him in spirit and in truth. And there's this aspect very different than idols or other gods of this age that sat in your living room. I mean, you guys are in Hong Kong enough to recognize that you walk into a restaurant and you're going to be confronted with some god, and he's sitting on some mantle somewhere. And God says, no, that's not. I'm not embodied by something. God says, I'm spirit. It's a totally different world in this case. All right, so let's go back to the text. Let's go back. For God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And so he's saying, what God is saying here, what John is saying about the love of God is the greatest manifestation of that love is he sent his Son. Sounds similar to a really famous verse that John the Elder here, when he was as the apostle, he wrote that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And it's a simple idea. This is one of the greatest acts of love that God had for the people and for the world, that he sent forth to us his Son. And then he continues on, and I'm losing time, so let me get to what I want to talk about. In verse 18, there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. I feel like a lot of times some of the, some of the most difficult moments and times that we have as Christians is because of we don't quite understand verse 19, or I should say, we have not experienced verse 19. It says, we're able to love God, love others, because he first loved us. A lot of times what happens is we're trying to love God and we're trying to love other people, but it's really out of our own strength, out of our own will. You know, we say things like, well, I'm a Christian. I just got to love this person, but I really don't like this person. That's not real love. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm a leader, so I got to really love this person. And there's no heart. And it's the formula is actually reversed. We are able to love because he first loved us. Because we have an experience of God's love in our life. And that love is so powerful, it enables us to love him back and to love others. A lot of times we substitute love for discipline. Or we substitute loving God for ritual. And we do things. So we read the Bible, oh God, I really love you because I'm doing something. I mean, those are parts of it, but that's not really love. That's your discipline, that's your duty, and those types of things. But like when I'm reading the Bible, I don't know about you, I don't want to do it out of duty. I want to do it as a response of God's love. When I'm serving the Lord, I don't want to do it because of a religious duty. I feel like I have to do it, or Pastor Sam is making me do it, or I'm getting pressured by somebody to do it. It should be an expression of God's love in our life. God, I love you so much. I love you so much, God, that this is how I want to respond to you. You know what I mean? And how do we get that? We love because he first loved us. And so it should probably be pretty important for us to come to this place of receiving God's love in many different ways, in many different forms. And out of that, what we're doing really when we're coming to church, when we're doing our quiet time, when we're serving, when we are being a blessing to the poor, when we're giving, you know, all these things, that those things are actually as a result or an expression of our love of God. In other words, we have received God's love, and so it's just a holy response. Yeah, so I serve, and I give, and I spend time with God, because this I'm responding to the Lord because he first loved me. He first plucked me out. He was the one that was seeking after me. He was the hound of heaven. And it wasn't, I didn't seek after him. He sought after me. You know, there's that Delirious song. I mean, I really like the song, I Found Jesus, but totally wrong. I didn't find Jesus. Jesus found me. And so it's this simple idea that he's the one who plucked me out, and he's the one who absorbed me in his love. And so everything I do now as a follower of Christ is just a simple response of God's love in my life. It's a totally different thing. Imagine you're in a relationship, and the person just feels like he just has to love you. Or he just feels purely out of duty. All right. You know, I don't really love you, but I'm going to cook for you. I'm going to clean for you. You know, I'm going to do this, but, you know, there's going to be no intimacy. There's going to be no lovey-dovey stuff going on. I mean, eventually, it's going to be a pretty bad relationship because it's affection, you know. It's heart. It's your will that's being molded into the image of God. And so, in that same way, let's not give God our empty praise, you know. Let's not give God our duty. Let's respond to God. And so, the best way to respond to him is by first receiving that love. And one of the ways that John says that you can understand that, if that love is being perfected in us, is really the issue of fear. Is there something that you are fearing right now? Are there some things in your life that are giving you trepidation and whatnot? Is there any fear going on? And it comes in waves in a lot of these things. And when that happens, he says you can know that love is not perfected in us. In other words, we need to continue to grow in love in certain areas that it could be perfected, that fear just totally comes off of us. Right? There's an old saying that a man does not fear who knows that his God is omnipotent. We could add that a man does not fear that knows that his God loves him or her. So let's close our eyes this morning. Perfect love casts out fear. And so let's ask Holy Spirit to speak to us a little bit. Is there anything in your life right now that you are fearful about? That is an invitation from the Lord for you to receive some more of His love. Whatever it is that you're fearful about, whatever it is that gives you stutter or trepidation or whatever it may be, give it to the Lord. Maybe it's an area of your life that you don't trust Him. Maybe it's an area of your life that you have very difficulty in trusting Him in. I tell you honestly, for me, I would not consider myself to be a fearful person, but every once in a while, I'll get these thoughts that come, and it relates to my children. You know, oh, can I provide for them? Will they be good citizens? Will they do well in school? All these things. And then it always brings me back. It's the love of God that always brings me back. God, You love them more than I do. You're going to take care of them. You're going to provide for them. And as I experience more of God's love, the fear just washes away. And so if there's anything in your life right now that you're fearful about, maybe some of you guys are here and you're afraid that you might never get married, or you might never have a good job or a fulfilling career, or afraid that maybe your parents will never get saved. So many different things. Let Holy Spirit speak to you. And this morning, experience God's love. And as we worship, let's place our hearts there.
Lord, I want more of You.
Let's continue to pray and let's ask God to identify those fears in our life. And whatever it may be, whatever category in your life that kind of fits into. And the same way, let's ask God to reveal more of His love for us. It's not our willpower that casts out fear, nor our strength. It's His love. And so let's ask for God's love to be perfected in us. And as that happens, fear just leaves. And let's pray this morning, before we go into a corporate time of prayer, let's pray for ourselves that we would experience God's love, that His love would just flow in our life right now. Let's pray together. Let's go to our community prayer focus and let's pray for our friends that are sick with cancer. Let's pray for God's healing word. Pray for strength and encouragement. Pray for the surgeries and biopsies and things that need to take place, and for just the skill of the doctors and the health professionals. And let's pray for the family members to come around to be an encouragement, and that God would really do a deep work, that they would experience God's love even in the midst of their sickness. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that's ill but also needs to know Jesus. And let's pray that His love would be experienced in their lives and they would give their life to Him. And let's pray for healing of the body and healing of the heart and mind. Let's pray for our community that are dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. Let's ask God's healing word to come over their lives. Pray for our community that are looking for work. Let's ask God to open doors for them. Let's pray for skill and interviews and just real favor of God over their lives, and the Lord would provide for them quickly. Let's pray. So our mission focus, and let's pray for our local ministries, and let's pray for churches here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for the international churches, the local churches, the ethnic churches. Let's pray that God, the message of God's love would go out through every pulpit over this weekend. Let's pray for YWAM Hong Kong, Sports Services International, Godwin and Shanti Ministries, Frank and Fabi Masters Beauty, the Red Light District Outreach. Let's also pray for face-to-face. Lift up Pastor Jimmy Stewart. I actually saw him yesterday. His knee's recovering. He looks good. Pray for Armando at Feed the Hungry and Anil at CSW. Let's pray for these ministries and ask Holy Spirit to use them to bring love, the message of love throughout Hong Kong. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for our missions committee, Pastor Eugene, Jamie, John, Sarah, Jisun, and Kiwan. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon them. Let's pray for wisdom. Pray for divine contacts, and they would just wisely lead our church in our missions front. Let's just pray for wisdom for each of them. Let's pray for our local outreach. Pray for our leaders. Lift the Pastor Sophia and Janella. Let's pray for our community center pray for all the activities that go on there, that God would be glorified and people would be helped. Let's pray for Igape, the English and computer school. Let's pray for the homeless ministries. Pray for SP Lights, our Red Light District ministry, and the prison ministry. Let's pray that these things and other initiatives that that our committee is coming up with, that the church would just really come on board and be a blessing to this community around us. Let's pray for local outreach. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government, the leaders. Pray against the wealth gap and ask God to supernaturally shrink that as the wealthy would start giving away their wealth to the poor. That's kind of happening. I don't know if you saw the news lately, but a big real estate developer donated close to $1 billion to build housing for low-income families. It's amazing, out in new territories. And so I'm not attributing this to our prayers, but I'm sure our prayers are contributing to a lot of prayers being praised in Hong Kong. And so let's really thank God for that and really pray that this wealth gap, and especially the very rich, would just really give of themselves and operate in love, really. Let's pray for revival in this city. Let's pray that this city would be the city on a hill. I'm going to preach on this in a couple weeks. Now let's just ask God's hand to be with us and pray that this place would fulfill their destiny in being that light to China. Now let's just lift up Hong Kong. Let's pray for all the activities going on at church tonight. Let's pray for McCain House Church. Pray for the IP, it's an intercessory prayer meeting tonight. Pray for as college group meets and also the river. We come together to worship the Lord. Let's just ask God to just really place His hand on these gatherings, and that people that would come together, they would experience God. They would experience His love. They would encounter Him in a deep divine way. Let's just cover all the leaders and all the volunteers that are in charge of different gatherings going on today. Let's ask the Lord to move upon us. Let's lift up. And lastly, I know it's not on there, but let's pray for the men's and women's ministries. Our retreats are coming up in the next few weeks. Let's pray that especially the guys, is coming up sooner, the guys would sign up. We have 50 signups right now, and we promised 100. And so let's pray that the Lord would just start speaking to our guys to really, in a simple way, to really man up and join in. God's going to do a really amazing thing. So let's just cover the retreats, all the logistics. Let's pray for all the speakers and everything that goes on in this trip. Let's ask God's favor. Lord, we just thank You this morning, Lord, that God is love. Lord, anything we think about love, Lord, that's righteous, God, flows from you. I pray, Lord, that you would help us today, God, to experience more of your love, that we would be still, God, that we'd be rested in that quiet place, and in that place, God, that you would just pour your love over us, God. And as that happens, Lord, that fear just comes off of us. We thank you, God. Lord, help us to grow in your love every single day, starting today. We love you, Lord. Watch over us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow morning as we finish 1 John together.